Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, the World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed. Right. You make no friends in the pits and you take no prisoners.
No prisoners.
1 minute, you're up 500,000 in soybeans, and the next, boom, your kids don't go to college and they've repossessed your Bentley. Are you with me?
Hello and welcome to Turner's Take Podcast. I'm your host, Craig Turner, author of Turner's Take Newsletter and broker here with Daniels Trading. We work with speculators and hedgers, broker-assisted and online trading. If you have any interest in working with me, let me know. If you're a client and like what you hear, please give me a call, shoot me a text or an email. If you trade online, we have a great platform, DT Pro. And if you like working with a broker, give us a call and we'll go over how we like to work with clients. If you like this newsletter, feel free to pass it along. If you don't get the newsletter and you listen to the podcast, you can request it by either texting number 33777, that's 33777, with the message Turner. You can also go to turnerstake.com. And if you like the podcast, please give us a review and send it along as a recommendation. You go to iTunes and give us a review over there. If you're a client and like the ideas that we're talking about, feel free to give me a call. We can start putting some of these into the place on the spec or hedge and marketing side. And if you're a speculator or a hedger and don't have an account with us, but would like to know what it would be like to work with us here, feel free to give me a call. My number is 312-706-7610. So I am away this week, and I was actually with Memphis and Florida last week, and this week I'm in Florida at my in-law's house, and my kids are in school learning online, and I'm working here, and we have the late afternoons and nights to hang out at the beach here in the Panhandle. Luckily, we are going to be missing these hurricanes coming through. I'm going to have a little rain maybe Wednesday and Thursday, but that's about it. I am here, and we're going to make us a short podcast. I'm still working full days, but a little bit limited in the technology we have. So we're going to go shoot for about a 10-minute podcast here just for this week. And because of that, just going to talk corn and beans. Those are the big topics right now. Let's switch on over to the corn market. So some big developments in corn. One, we were really starting to – the Pro Farmer Tour came out last week and had a yield for corn of about 177, and I think soybeans were 52. So the Pro Farmer is underneath the USDA, which tends to happen, but you know, the damage in Iowa is getting worse, or at least the more it gets known about it, the worse it seems like it is, and the more bushels it affect. And it has been hot and dry. It has pretty much not rained through most of the Midwest since early August. So we're going on 2 to 3 weeks in a lot of places that haven't had a whole lot of rain. It's been hot, especially as of late, and it is stressing the crop. So good to excellent ratings. We're in the low 70s for corn. They dropped down to 69 last Monday, and this Monday, yesterday, it went down 5 percentage points. And it wasn't just Iowa and Illinois. It was also all the Midwest. Michigan was a big note, too. So the Midwest needs some rain. It needs some rain in a big way. We are going to start getting rain on Thursday, and there'll be rain throughout the Midwest in a lot of locations in the next 6 to 7 days. The problem is some of the parts that need it the most in Iowa and Illinois may miss it, and that is going to definitely take the top off of yields in a lot of places that traditionally have some very big yields. You know, there are farmers I've worked with in the I states who have said that they were looking at record corn crops, and now it might not be record, could be third, fourth largest, you know, on the farm, but you know, that kind of reduction in certain very high areas by 20 bushels an acre, you know, something that could produce 260 is now 240. I'm getting more and more of that kind of talk. Now there's a lot of good corn and beans out there, but the stress is definitely making an impact. And between the Pro Farmer Tour, the Iowa winds, the dryness and the continued dryness and the crop ratings coming down, we've seen some pretty big rallies here. In corn, We've seen some short covering. It looks like the funds, I wouldn't be surprised if the funds are now short underneath 100,000 contracts. When today would be the last day for the commitment of traders, which comes out on Friday, but that's always as of Tuesday, the prior Tuesday, which is today. So the commitment of traders that comes out on Friday, which is in 3 days from now, is going to show as of the close today. I wouldn't be surprised if the funds are short only 60,000 contracts of corn. Definitely under 100,000 contracts now, and quite honestly, they could be the way this is going. They could be flat by the end of the week. I think we could hit. How high can these corn go? The 200-day moving average is 363. I don't see the point in why corn would be going above the 200-day moving average and actually turning into a bull market, unless the market really thinks that corn yields are going, let's say, below 174. 173, because at that point we'd have an ending stocks of under 2 billion. So I have my tables up, and I have three different scenarios here: 176, 178, 180. A lot of people are talking about like a 178 yield now, where we're going to lose, you know, two or three bushels, maybe four bushels from where the USDA is now. So I have a 176, a 178, and 180. Because keep in mind, even though the weather is getting worse and there's a lot of stress on the crop, a lot of the crops have been made. And now it's really just about how this fills out and finishes. So at a 176 yield, which is the bottom of the performance that I have right now for yield, we're only at a carryout of 2.2 to 2.3 billion, which in years past, when you're at a 2.2 or 2.3 billion, the harvest lows are closer to like 340. 330, 350, like in range in that area, 335, something like that. So, you know, and we see corn right now at 350, 355, putting a little weather premium in. So maybe the harvest lows are now 330, which is kind of where September is, or had been. Now where are we in September? September is now probably closer to 340. Yeah, 340, but, you know, stuff could go back down to 330. During delivery period, wouldn't be shocked if that happened. December could trade between, let's say, 360s, low 360s, and maybe 330, 335. And that pretty much looks like the range of these corn, probably sub corn, you know, to the low side also now going forward. The bear spreads in the old, you know, when we're short that bear spread that set first March, that's actually been hanging in there just because a lot of old crop does have to move for the new crop here. But in terms of where the price range for corn is, if we're at a 176 yield, we're probably at a 330 to 365 range for Dease corn here going forward. If it's not as bad, if it's a 178 yield, we're at a 2.4 carryout. And if we're at a 180, you know, let's say we do get good finishing weather and things aren't as bad and the crops come back and, you know, I don't think we'll be at a 180, but let's say we are, and we're at a 2.6 ending stock. I think it's more likely we're at a 176, 177, just based on the forecast and what we're hearing. Again, you never know until we get into the harvest period, and there'll be uncertainty, which is why the price for corn is going to stay a little bit elevated. So that's the new range for corn. What it does, though, for next year is at, I want to say, at 90 million acres and a trend line yield. We use as much as we produce, or I want to say it's 89 million acres and a trend line yield. We use as much as we produce. So it's going to be interesting to see how this affects the acreage for next year. That's a long way off, but it is something that, as a trader and marketers, we have to keep in mind expectations for the new crop. So if Dease 20 gets to 360, 365 area, then Dease 21 should be pretty close to 390. Bear in mind, if we have 89 million acres next year in a trend line yield, we're still over a 2 billion carryout. So 390 in that scenario looks pretty good for Dease 21. If we're at 390 new crop and guys are making planting decisions, I think we'll have more than 89 million acres of corn next year. I think we're going to have in the low 90s again. And if that's the case for, you know, every acre we're adding, we're piling on about 170 to 180 million bushels to the carryout. So a 92 million acre in a trend line carryout gets us to, that's an extra like 500 million bushels. So now we're at a 2.7 carryout. So if you see me talking about, I had, you know, making sales at 380, 390, and $4, people were asking me, well, you sound pretty bearish on corn next year because I wasn't waiting for prices over four. It's not that I'm bearish. It's just that if prices get too high, it brings out acres, right? And if prices don't get high enough, then we'll, you know, we will have lower acres. We're not going to have the opportunity to sell. It's kind of a double-edged sword. Think of it this way. If old crop or Dease doesn't rally as much, we don't get good prices. We don't get the good price to sell for the 21. If it does rally big, then it's just going to add more acres to next year, right? So we have to take advantage of it when it comes. That's the situation that corn is in right now, with having over 2 billion ending stocks and most likely planting 90 million acres or more next year. So that is just the reality. And what corn, if we have an adequate supply and demand, corn typically trades in the, let's say, mid threes to low fours. And you just got to jump at those chances to get that higher level prices when you can. It's great when it trades to 420, but it certainly doesn't have to, especially if we're always looking at carryouts of over 2 billion. So I don't mind taking a shot here. You know, making a couple of sales, even if they're small, get something on the board for next year. I do like that. As for the near term, corn's probably pressured up to the 200-day moving average. Again, to get above the 200-day moving average, we've got to be thinking not just below 176 yields, probably like 174. And if that's what the market's thinking, then we will blow through that 200-day moving average. But if it doesn't, I just don't see it. We'll see what happens here. But to me, at that point, the funds will be pretty much flat also. Another 10 cents higher, we're at the 200-day moving average. Funds are flat, and you got to be asking yourself, are we approaching a $2 billion carryout? I don't think we will be, but that's what to keep in mind. And who knows, maybe we miss all the rains in the Midwest and it stays hot. In that scenario, maybe we do go through the 200-day moving average, which for right now, that's not looking what'll happen. So that's our take on corn right now. We are 65 to 70% sold on new crop in Turner's Take, so we're 100% sold in old crop and corn. I'm 65 to 70% sold on the new crop in corn. And whatever rally happens here at the end of the season, we're going to probably use to sell just the rest of the new crop. Get 100% sold here. And or as much as we can, right? Because no one knows exactly what the yields are, but they should have a good idea of at least 80 or 90% at some point, right? And just try to get as much sold as possible. And on the last bit, maybe with puts, or just let it ride a little bit. And also start to look to 21. And then if we need to buy some back, we can always use the front month futures for that, but I just don't love the outlook right now going forward. In soybeans, that has also been rallying, and I can see soybeans. There's a possibility where soybeans makes another 30 cents higher and we go to 950, and I'll tell you why. When I'll post all these supply and demand charts, but if the soybean crop is at a 53 yield, you know, we have a carryout of about just under 600. If I think the soy, with good to excellent coming down and the rain shutting off in a lot of places in August, that's going to affect the soybean crop. So let's say we're at a 51.5 yield. I think Pro Farmer's at 52. Let's say we're at 51.5, which maybe that's where we are right now. Ending stocks are for about 460. You got a stock to usage of 10%. And in that scenario, beans should be in the low to mid nines, I think. And then if we have a 50 yield, if we go back to trend line yield, we're going to have an ending stock projection of about 330, 340 million. And in that case, old crop's 950. New crop is in the high nines, right, with the potential to go to tens with some, you know, some South American weather rally or something like that. And so soybeans seems very interesting here. We are undersold on new crop and soybeans. For a while, it's just, I think a lot of people have been. I think a lot of news writers and pundits and brokers and marketing advisors have been. It's just that soybeans has not given us the greatest opportunity to sell beans. I mean, we have 20% sold at 975. We did another 10% at 920, and so great, 30% sold. But there's still another 70% of beans that we haven't sold yet, and we've been waiting for high prices. I think we can get it here. I think that we have this hot and dry weather. We get a close above 925. We get another round of buying from the funds. Maybe we get into the 950 area. All of a sudden, I'm all about selling into that rally for marketing purposes. If I'm specking, kind of like buying on the spec side, I think you could look to maybe make 5, 10, 15 cents on these little rallies here that are inspired by the weather. I think if you're a farmer and a marketer, you got to use this rally to sell. And if we get anywhere close, I don't think we're going to get close to 950 yet for soybeans in 21 for the farmers out there. But depending on how, but 21's about, it's November 20, where do we settle? About 926. I don't know. If we start getting to 925, I don't think I have anything sold for November 21. And we have an order working out there at 950 for our first one. We'll hold that. I'm optimistic on that. I do think we'll get there, and that's where we're going to start making sales. And if we get filled there, we'll make a call about where we want to keep on going higher. But that's where we're seeing these markets right now. So, again, I am in Florida this week, but give me a call. I am working from the home office down here. I'll be here for the rest of the week. Should be a bullish period for corn and soybeans, probably for the end of the week. We'll see what the weather brings. And then when we get into September, as the temperatures cool and we get some moisture, the crop ratings will stabilize. And we'll start talking about that September WASD and where the real supply and demand is. But it looks like the funds are blown out of their corn shorts. They could be out of it by the end of the week and be piling into long soybeans. We don't see the funds getting long corn unless we think that the yields are going to be below 174, 175. In that case, you get to a 2 billion carryout, maybe they do get long. But that is where we are. So, if you need anything, let me know. I am around by cell and phone. Everyone have a good rest of their week. Farmers out there should try to use this opportunity to sell into. And speculators, if you want to ride the momentum higher, great. If you have a lot of old crop, new crop sales that you want to try to catch up on there, maybe there is another 10 cents to the upside in corn, probably another 20 upside in soybeans. All right, have a good week, everyone, and I'll talk to you later.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels Trading Broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore, investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniels Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniels Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.